Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart, and Fred Williams, he's on assignment.
No, I'm not.
Fred, what are you doing back here?
I'm back.
Oh, he's back. See, you can't stay out of the Real Science Radio studio because we have so much fun here. And I think you heard that we're going to go through Creation Magazine today.
That's right. A great magazine. The latest one's out. So the first story is about a moon of Saturn, Enceladus.
Yeah.
Now, this is something that one of the spacecraft that NASA sent up there took some photographs of, right?
Yeah, this is so fun. Cassini and what they figured out, and Fred, this goes on our list of not so old things, or our transient events,
yeah,
right, of the solar system. They're measuring how much plasma that Enceladus is shooting up into its magnetosphere. And they're comparing it to the planet Saturn.
Yeah, so, it's about, what, a 1/230th of the diameter of Saturn.
Yeah, it's tiny.
Very tiny compared to Saturn.
Compared to Saturn. And plasma is what? It's like, well, lightning is plasma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you strip off electrons in a gas.
Mm-hmm.
And so, plasma. How much plasma could this little tiny moon be shooting up into its atmosphere for how long? What's so interesting is that they believe this moon is billions of years old, like the solar system, 4.5 billion years old. But then what they don't ask, and it's the question that's so obvious, is, well, how could this little moon possibly have been shooting this plasma into its magnetosphere for billions of years?
And what's funny is it's shooting up as much plasma as Saturn puts out. And again, it's just 1/230th of the size of Saturn.
Right.
It's doing the same amount.
Yeah.
Yet again, this thing, how could this possibly be billions of years old?
Yeah.
So no way.
In the show we did on the list of transient events of the solar system, we mentioned that there are things happening throughout the solar system that should only happen incredibly rarely if it's 4 billion years old, and yet we're seeing them all at the same time. So I think we should add that to our list
of
transient
events. This definitely fits.
Yeah, that'll be really fun. And then, Fred, I like this story about this tiny little fish in the Mojave Desert in Nevada in a cavern.
Yeah, they thought it was trapped in there for 13,000 years. And if that's true, doesn't that kind of refute the Bible, the timeline of the Bible?
Well, yeah, they have said that in this flooded cavern, this fish that has been isolated from the rest of a population of similar fish, that it had to be there for 13,000 years when they looked at its genetic makeup. And so there they go, falsifying the Bible. Everything has to be over 7,000 years, you know, more than 10,000 years, then they're happy. Well, they looked at it a little bit more carefully. And this comes from the journal Nature.
Yeah.
This year, 2016.
Well, they were off by just a little bit. It turns out they were maybe there for 100 years and maybe as much as 800.
Maybe
get it up to 800.
Maybe.
But between 100 and 800 years, that's quite a bit different than 13,000 years.
Yeah. And Fred, this is so reminiscent of so many of the stories that we reported, the science stories, on our list of not so old things. Like, for example, in Death Valley, you know, not too far from this Mojave Desert cavern. In Death Valley, there was an eruption that they reported occurred 10,000 years ago. And that's just enough to falsify the Bible. And then geologists take a closer look and they say, you know, we think we dated this more accurately. We think it was 800 years ago.
Well, it reminds me of a high school textbook. And this really is in there. It says this rock formation is 130,000 years old. Plus or minus 130,000 years.
Yeah. When your margin of error is 100%. So it might have happened last Tuesday.
Yeah.
We're not quite sure. So what's fun about this is time and time and time again, when they make pronouncements, these knee-jerk reactions like opals form in 100,000 years, you know, or hundreds of thousands of years. And then they find, oops, takes a few weeks.
That's right. Just so stories.
With microbial action and wet sand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything, knee-jerk reaction, had to take longer than the Bible says. But then when they look at it more carefully, when their ignorance is dispelled by scientific knowledge, actual understanding, they find out that this is within the time frame of the scriptures.
That's right. Now, Bob, I really was on assignment last week, and you had an interview with a guy named Doug Axe. And you know, one of my favorite topics.
Oh.
And man, that was really good. I had a chance to listen to it.
Yeah.
And just talking about proteins and, you know, how they form and the order and then the feedback loop and all these things. How does evolution possibly explain
yeah.
it? It can't. It's just yeah. mind-boggling. It's a total blind faith to believe this can happen naturalistically or atheistically.
Yeah.
It's and crazy.
It was so fun to hear about his time at Cambridge University, which held the world's most prestigious molecular biology lab.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug Axe is working there in the 1990s when they're so in the dark because of the theory of evolution that they believe that proteins have to be very simple.
Simple.
They have like two parts, a part that likes water and a part that doesn't like water. And you can mix up the amino acids however you'd like, and pretty much they're going to function. And they had some research that claimed that that was the case.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it was an interesting story.
Wasn't that?
Oh, yeah.
Turns out the research was false. It was wrong. They had to do a retraction in the journal Nature. And Doug Axe wasn't part of that research. He was part of the research that said, imagine that you got a protein with 200 amino acids or more. There's 20 different kinds that have to be in the right order. And that was what Doug Axe's research was showing. And he was strongly disapproved of by the founder of the lab, who's a Nobel Prize winning scientist, along with Watson and Crick, the guys mm-hmm. who discovered DNA.
Yep.
And Doug Axe then very quickly gets fired, kicked out of Cambridge. But then the journal Molecular Biology publishes his paper
yeah.
showing that indeed the sequence of amino acids and proteins is vital. And I think it held back biology 30 years.
Oh, easily.
Because the Darwin, more. Like junk DNA.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Junk DNA. Because the Darwinists wanted to be junk and wanted to be simple, and they keep finding out it's wildly sophisticated.
Yeah, and we're not even talking about the quality control system that if something goes wrong in any of these folding steps, it gets thrown out and rejected.
It's astounding.
It is. It's amazing.
Yeah. Look what the Lord hath wrought.
Yeah.
What God did. Compared to physics and chemistry, those disciplines are nothing compared to biology. The complexity in biology is a millionfold, a billionfold more
complicated.
And that's
why us engineers are always trying to copy it. It's because it's just so amazing.
Yeah, biomimetics.
And then we'll talk about a tarantula later that's really cool. That we need to copy that thing too.
Why don't we talk about
that
tarantula?
Well, let's do talk about that.
Because Creation Magazine has published from Australia, CMI, Creation Ministries International. They have an article about the blue tarantula. Actually, there's more than one blue tarantula species. There's eight of them. And these are not blue because of pigment.
No, they're not.
How is it that they have this brilliant blue color?
Well, you know, it's kind of like butterflies. They have that really, that iridescent look to them.
Mm.
And you know, if you look at butterflies at different angles, you see a different shade of the color.
Yeah, and then sometimes the blue just disappears altogether.
It does. And it's not pigment. It's light interference. In fact, if you take a microscope and look at the wings of butterflies, it looks like Christmas trees, these valleys of Christmas tree-shaped things, and it's bending the light so that we see that effect, that color effect. It's amazing.
So you mean in a butterfly's beautiful blue wing with amazing patterns on it often, that there are physical structures that make the color blue?
Yeah, that's
not
right.
Pigment?
If you crunch up the butterfly wing, you'll just see like brown pigment color.
Now, you
and
would never do that to a poor little butterfly.
No, only an already dead one.
I would just, I would just, if there's a bug in, like in a store on the sidewalk and somebody says, oh, here, move. I say, no, stomp.
Yeah.
Stomp on that bug. Don't worship bugs.
Yeah, that's right.
People who advocate dismembering unborn children try to protect bugs.
That they do. They pat themselves on the back for it.
Yeah, they want to show they're compassionate and loving.
Yes.
Because kill that baby. But I love that cockroach. Yeah.
Yeah. And the cockroach doesn't feel pain. The baby does.
The baby does. Wow, Fred. So at any rate, God made this incredible physical contraption that traps light waves, but it only traps certain light waves.
Yeah.
It allows the blue waves, or you could do it with other colors. It allows the blue to escape, so it bounces back.
Yeah, so we see blue, even though the pigment isn't blue, but the tarantula goes farther than the butterfly, which is really cool. So apparently, according to these scientists, the shape of the legs help reflect light so that when you look at it at an angle, you still see the same vibrant blue.
You see the blue.
You don't do that. You don't see that with a butterfly.
No, a butterfly, if it's sitting on a flower and you walk around it, the blue is going to come and go.
Exactly.
But the tarantula, the hair on the legs of the tarantula, they think, are enabling the blue reflection to occur no matter what angle. And there are engineers who are saying, hey, in biomimetics, we might be able to mimic what this creature does naturally because God made it that way.
Yeah.
And put color in the things we manufacture where they don't lose their color as you move around the object.
That's right. That would be really cool.
Okay, but Fred, there are 8 species of blue tarantula. Now, to me, one tarantula species is one too many.
Yeah, yeah.
That's enough. But of blue ones, there are 8. And when researchers looked at them carefully, they assumed they're all related. But they found out that the pattern that makes the blue in the tarantula is different in the 8 species. So what do they possibly conclude?
Yeah, so they conclude that it evolved 8 separate times independently.
Yeah.
I mean, this is so silly.
It's so silly.
Well, it is silly, and God's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah. There are birds, in fact, bluebirds, that have the same kind of function, and butterflies.
I knew that birds and tarantulas had a direct ancestor. It has to be.
That's right. The tarantulas evolved from bluebirds.
So that means,
the bat evolved from whales, echolocating
whales.
That
means spiders came, if that's true, they came from dinosaurs too, because the birds did.
Yeah, right. It must be.
Yeah.
We are dinosaurs.
Yeah, that's right.
We are fish, after all.
Yep.
So, Fred, they said the same thing with eyesight, that it evolved independently, and they're trying to bring the number down.
Yeah. Last time I heard it's like 40 or 60, then I heard 40.
Yeah.
Do they got it down to 39
They
now?
Realize how absurd it is, and they can't even explain it evolving once,
yeah,
let alone repeated evolution of, even as with, well, not eyesight, but echolocation, the same genes producing the same proteins in bats and whales.
Yeah.
Bats and whales. Fred, they say, the research says it's virtually identical.
Yeah.
And you know what they don't report in the media, and even in the papers I've looked, is how long are the DNA sequences that are identical?
Yeah.
They're not going to report that. You would think they'd report it. It'd be so interesting. But I think they don't, because it would be so obvious that it could not independently evolve identical programming.
Yeah. Well, not that long ago, Fox News had this story about this fossil, another human ancestor fossil. They failed to mention a lot of things. For example, chimp human ancestry was refuted because the Y chromosome is so much different. We are closer to the chicken than we are to a chimpanzee with the Y chromosome. The Y chromosome doesn't mutate very easily. It's very robust. So it'd be a perfect thing to look at for evolution. And, it totally refutes it.
Is that why Obama's a chicken? Because he's related to a chicken?
That must be it.
Well, for one thing, looking at us genetically in chimpanzees and gorillas, it turns out that 15% of the gorilla genome is closer to humans than to chimps. And that's not supposed to be.
No, of course not.
Yeah. That's like your cousin is closer to you than your brother is.
Yep.
It's not the prediction of Darwinism. And so I love the example that you just gave, Fred. The Y chromosome has very little difference because you inherit it only from your father.
Yeah.
And so it's very stable all over the world, which in and of itself freaked out evolutionists, because they assume that it's been millions of years since we diverged from chimps.
Yeah.
And so our Y should be wildly different among humans all over the world.
To them, it was horrendous. Remember? They use that scientific term, horrendous.
Horrendously different from the chimp, but wildly similar among humans. And you're saying closer to a chicken than a chimp.
Yeah.
And Y.
So this story, it's on the front page of Fox News. They plaster it right there about how Lucy must have fell out of a tree, and that's how she died. And, all the sympathy for Lucy, they'll be sympathetic to this extinct bonobo, is really all Lucy was, because if you look at the two skulls, they're identical. Anybody can see
it's
that.
It's like a 3-foot-tall chimp.
Yeah. They're sympathetic to poor Lucy falling out of a tree. And again, but what's their sympathy towards unborn babies?
Yeah.
But they make themselves feel good about this stuff. But I can't believe that this is plastered on the front page of Fox News.
Wow.
It's annoying because it's so false.
Yeah.
They're not telling the truth. And so many people are going to read that and be brainwashed by it.
So the fact that Fox is reinforcing this false claim that Lucy was our ancestor of Homo sapiens.
Yeah, the first sentence is like, Lucy, our human ancestor.
Where even plenty of paleontologists would disagree with
that. Yeah, even evolutionist paleontologists, there's plenty of them that disagree with it.
Yeah.
If it's true, why is it so easy to find an evolutionist who hates our point of view,
who says,
who would agree with us
not
on that
true,
one?
Right? Yeah. So, Fred, the next story from Creation Magazine is the gash in the hills of the Bighorn Mountains in Wyoming. This is fun because the local people, they pretty much freaked out over what happened before their very eyes.
Yeah, I mean, this thing, there's a picture of it in the Creation Magazine, which you ought to get this magazine. It's amazing how big this thing is. It's like 9 football fields long, roughly. I mean, the thing
nine
is,
football
let's
see, fields
22,250 feet long by 150 foot wide.
And it opened up suddenly in the earth, in these hills, in the Bighorn Mountains, in the foothills. And the locals were saying that they were awed to see the earth change so dramatically, so quickly.
Well, not only were they awed, they were very glad they didn't have a house there either.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Well, do you remember, Fred, that we did on our list of not so old things, a segment, in fact, one of the list items, if people search for a list of not so old
Heart
things,
Mountain.
Or just go to rsr.org and click on the right of the page, you'll see our list shows.
Mm-hmm.
We have a list of our list shows. And one of them, right at the top, I think, is the list of not so old things. And yeah, you said it, Fred, the Heart Mountain Detachment. That thing, they thought, of course, everything in geology takes thousands, millions of years, even billions of years. But the Heart Mountain Detachment is this massive mountain that broke apart into 50 pieces, covering 425 square miles. And they said, well, it didn't take as long as we thought.
Yeah. Yeah, so like 30 minutes?
Yeah, that's what they said. Yep. In fact, we have the links. You could go check it out for yourself on our website, rsr.org. List of Not So Old Things. 30 minutes, not millions of years. Not millions of years, but, and we have so many examples on that list of things that they thought took forever. And lo and behold,
30 minutes. So you can start watching Leave It to Beaver. And by the time it's over, this whole thing happened.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So now, Fred, they have an article in here on Neanderthal. And here in the U.S., we say Neanderthal. But if you read a lot of scientific literature, you end up pronouncing it Neanderthal because that's how they spell it in Europe. At least in Britain, Australia, the journal.
Were the shorter ones, were they Neanderthal?
Neanderthal. Oh. You remember the shortest person in the Bible?
No.
Nehemiah? Oh, no. Wait. Peter was smaller because he slept on his watch.
Okay. Slept on his watch. Okay.
That's like
that's pretty small.
That's
either that or he had a really, really big watch.
Yeah. That's like recursion, though, right? Because if Peter's small, he's going to have a small watch.
Yeah.
And if he can sleep on a watch, it just keeps going.
Yeah, he's really tiny.
It's like the turtles all the way down.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wish I were a who.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whosville?
A person's a person no matter how small.
That's right.
Fits in with the theme of today's Real Science Radio show.
Yeah.
So, Fred, the Neanderthals, that the world-renowned experts said that they were a different species, whereas creationists are saying, well, they're humans.
Yeah.
They're Homo sapiens.
Yep.
They're human beings. Made by God in his image and likeness, you have, in fact, the world's leading expert on Neanderthal. His last book, called The Last Neanderthal, Ian Tattersall, he said on page 10 that clearly they are a separate species. And it turns out from this article, not only were they as sophisticated as we know from all previous studies, but now they figured out they were sophisticated in yet another way.
Yeah, they were. Now, this is something where I remember when they said that they had their own makeup. Remember that?
Yeah.
So it turns out that it really wasn't this black soot thing they thought they were using for makeup and mascara or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They're actually using it as a catalyst to make fire. It's amazing because this stuff will bring the point of timber down 100 degrees Celsius. That's the combustion point.
So manganese dioxide, this black mineral, and they scrape it onto wood, and now you could start a fire so much more easily.
A lot easier.
Wood-on-wood combustion.
Yeah.
That is, of course, intelligent, right? Now, apes, as far as I know, you know, I've only done so much reading watching the Discovery Channel. I don't think apes use fire. Do they use fire?
They don't use fire. And they're not very good painters either. Remember when some artist said that painting's worth millions?
Yeah.
And it turns out a chimp did it. So it's like pure random garbage.
Right, right. Yeah. Art. How do you know what is art?
Yeah.
If I can do it, it's not art. and art lies in the eye of the beholder, and some beholders are pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Okay. So we agree on all that. Yep. But chimps, they don't use fire. They run from fire.
Yeah.
I don't even think they put out fire. I haven't seen anything like that.
No.
But certainly they don't mine for minerals to use them to lower the combustion point of wood.
Yeah. So they can build a fire and, you know, cook food.
So I love it that the anthropologists and archaeologists, as they study Neanderthal, now we know because we've sequenced their genome, they're human.
They're humans. Absolutely.
Neanderthal are closer to us than a chimp is to another chimp.
That's right.
In the same species of, there's two species of chimp.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's awful.
Yeah. And what was it? Dr. Kuzo, he had a really good study on that. Highly recommend his book, Buried Alive.
Yes.
And his whole contention is how we actually we age faster as we go through time. As far as, like, if you go back 30 years, girls were entering puberty a little bit later. I mean, as we come into the future,
we're maturing more quickly.
Yes, we
which
age
is
faster.
Bad,
yes.
Meaning we're getting older quicker.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
In fact, we did that interview with Jack Kuzo.
Yeah.
And Fred, we titled it The Most Informative Neanderthal Show Ever.
That's right.
And it was.
It was. And I highly recommend people listen to it because this his whole story of being able to get access to these Neanderthal skulls and all that.
Oh,
it's
what a
they could make a Hollywood
show.
Movie out of that.
Yes. Now, since we're talking about Neanderthal, let's go over to an Iceman. And this is also in Creation Magazine. Fred Otzi the Iceman, they found him a quarter century ago in the Italian Alps. And there was something interesting about him, aside from the fact that he had a stomach bug. Poor guy.
Yeah, I feel stomach bug.
That's bad for him and bad teeth. He had an intestinal parasite. This guy is a mess.
Yeah. So, you know, they estimate him to be about 5,000 years old, you know, 5,000 years ago.
5,500 years ago.
Yeah, 5,500. Well, this guy was lactose intolerant. And see, there's growing evidence that lactose intolerance is the normal
the way
gene,
that God
right?
made Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
And so, like in Japan, milk is not a big seller because they widespread in Asia, lactose intolerance. In America, we don't have that as widespread in our population.
Mm-hmm.
So we buy a lot more milk.
Yeah.
But how did God make Adam and Eve? Were they lactose intolerant to start with? And there is evidence that when you become an adult, you didn't drink a lot of milk.
Yeah, that's right. And it's like a mutation, a natural, programmed mutation goes off that makes you where you don't need milk anymore, right?
Wow.
But a lot of us, our culture, we still drink a lot of milk. And I know personal experience, you know, my mom says, well, irritable bowel syndrome runs in our family because I had a problem. I'm like, I go into the doctor, can't figure out what it is. I finally just stopped drinking milk and cheese for an extended period of time.
And I
told my mom, you know, I'm cured of this irritable bowel syndrome. You know, when doctors can't figure out what it is, they call it irritable bowel syndrome.
Oh, right.
And it's not it. It was because I was lactose intolerant. Yeah. And my mom was like, yeah, maybe I should, you know, cut back on milk too, you know?
Right. So interesting. So this guy was apparently lactose intolerant. And, you know, they say he died 5,500 years ago, and that might be closer to reality than a lot of creationists might want to claim. Because on this show for years, Fred, we've said the Earth is less than 10,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the genealogies in the Old Testament, before the flood, after the flood, if, in fact, the Septuagint is used, which Jesus and the apostles they did quote from the Septuagint often.
Yep.
Instead of the Hebrew Old Testament, which God gave the Old Testament scriptures to the prophets in Hebrew, but that was translated into Greek centuries before Christ was born. And so you have some Hebrew manuscripts, you have this Greek Septuagint. Well, Jesus would quote from the Greek Septuagint often.
Yeah.
And the ages are different in the Septuagint. So that the earth is about 7,000 years old, if you go by the Septuagint. And so we've always said less than 10,000 years. And I've increasingly been persuaded that the Septuagint genealogies are the accurate genealogies.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. And so that would mean that the global flood happened about 5,500 years ago. So they might be off by a few centuries, yeah, but they're pretty close.
So let me say maybe, so you're not saying he died in the flood?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Right. He's mummified. He lived, you know, after the dispersion from Babel.
Yep.
And all the decay that comes from sin, mm-hmm, is represented in this guy's body.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is we have all these mutations, like in that little one-inch fish in that Mojave Desert flooded, yeah, cavern. Yeah. Mutations breaking down, bodies breaking down. It all happens rapidly. Well, how does it build up?
Yeah.
Evolution, Darwinism, it's supposed to build up, but it breaks down faster than it builds up.
And you know, they have those studies of how our IQ tests are worse than they were 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So this guy here, he's really ugly in this picture, but he's a lot smarter than us, and he's probably a lot stronger and more athletic,
yeah,
too.
And faster. Yeah. That's exactly right. Oh, by the way, Fred, let me add to the point about the Septuagint.
Okay.
The translators of the 1611 King James Bible, we noticed this. We went over to Oxford last fall,
yeah,
to prepare for a fun debate, the King James only debate. Just go to rsr.org/KJV and you'll find the debate. Well, the translators wrote in the prefaces of the 1611, they said the apostles quoted often from the Septuagint, and there's a good reason why they did, because they were claiming that Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies, but they were writing in Greek. So if they quoted the Old Testament prophecies and they made their own ad hoc translation into Greek right at that moment, as they were writing, say, the, mm-hmm, book of Corinthians, the accusation would be they're misquoting Isaiah. They're misquoting Zechariah. They're misquoting the Psalms to prove their point. But since they were quoting from a very well-established Greek translation.
Oh, interesting. Huh,
isn't that something?
That is. That really is interesting.
Yeah. So the translators of the King James Bible, just brilliant in that observation.
Yeah. That debate was a slaughter. Do you have that image I sent you posted on the,
yes,
webpage?
It's on
the boxing one where you're standing over the guy.
Yeah. That was a little mean, but we did include it in the debate.
All right.
And it's rsr.org/KJO.
KJO. So you got to go there just to check out that altered picture I did.
Or you could do rsr.org.
Down goes Frasia.
Yeah. Or you could do rsr.org/KJO-KO.
Okay.
So, Fred, we're out of time. It's so great to have you back in your seat here in the Real Sense Radio Studio.
It's great to be back.
Well, thank you. And I'm looking forward to our next show. And until then, this is Bob Benyart and Fred Williams. For Real Science Radio, may God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.